Welcome to Ravel, a roundtable show about how faith gets complex with the vast amount of information at our fingertips.
For some people, this complexity has caused the unraveling of their faith, and for other people, it's been liberating. Take us, for example. I'm Stephen.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Emily. We each grew up in different parts of the American Christian spectrum, and as some of our beliefs migrate, we still feel like our theology is in process. Theology always has fundamentally been and will always be an exploratory dialogue.
That alone is proof that faith raveling doesn't have to be a crisis, even if it feels like it. We don't have all the answers, so we want to use this show to model what it can look like to genuinely sort through beliefs in real time.
So share a drink with us as we pull on the thread of our own pressing questions. Thanks for listening.
Hi, friends. It's been so long.
Hello, lady and gentleman.
Howdy, partners.
Remind me who you are again. I'm Steven.
I'm the atheist around these parts.
Yeah.
I'm Josh. And then there's Emily, the pastor.
Who is not an atheist.
Can I get that in writing, Josh? What are you?
Yeah, it's spelled like G-R-W-E-K-C-Z-Z-K.
And it's pronounced.
And then you do like an L-M-N-O-P.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's like an onomatopoeia.
It's kind of just like gobbledygook. Yeah. Honestly, we need more of that, I think.
Sure.
We do.
Kevin Malone energy in the office where he's like, I know the alphabet. Elemento.
Bobody.
Bobody.
Bobody. What does it mean?
Bobody.
Business.
Speaking of business, we got a new patron.
Yeah, we do.
Since we last recorded, which is actually crazy because Derek, who's in the Discord, shout out to Derek. Thank you for buying our drinks. Derek has now made it through all of the episodes after being a patron for like a
month.
Found us, binged the 170 some backlog all between this recording session and the last one.
Tremendous.
So shout out to Derek. Thank you for buying our drinks.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. And thank you for listening and having thoughts in the Discord and being an all around extremely cool human being.
And bringing us together as we share what our beverages are. Okay, Steven, you're holding yours up first. What
Cheers
do you got?
To that, I got some Angel's Envy bourbon whiskey.
Oh, wow.
Neat. And also back up, I have a hibiscus LaCroix.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Joshua?
I'm on the Topo Chico train. Choo-choo! I got the Topo Chico with lime and 20 dashes of peach bitters. I found those this last week. Been adding them to every Topo Chico. Delicious compliment.
Spot on. I am drinking a Minute Maid Aguas Fresca, and strawberry is my latest kick.
Cute.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
How's pregnancy number two treating you lately?
Lord have mercy. I was nauseous for 10 weeks straight.
Oh, wow.
Never actually got sick, which was the worst because I would rather just got it over with.
You kind of want the purge moment. You want the release, like the boot
relief.
Rally feeling. Yeah.
And it never came.
No.
Just every day fluctuating for 10 solid weeks.
Oh,
awful. And now I have so much energy and I'm eating and I have cravings. Didn't have cravings when I was pregnant with Thea. So that's really fun. Nothing bizarre, though.
Top three. Top two,
mm.
What's the cravings? It was potato wedges earlier.
Potato wedges is top three. So it'd be potato wedges is number three.
Huge.
These are number two.
Great.
And I think number one, oddly enough, is oranges.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
like fresh oranges. That's a good choice.
And I don't eat oranges.
No scurvy on this pregnancy.
That's right.
Army matey, we're healthy this time around.
If I was a pirate, I would be in tip-top shape. We are transparent here, which brings me... Oh, go ahead, Steven.
No, it doesn't matter. I was just about to tell you that my mom's cravings were pickles when she was pregnant with me. Yeah, so whatever.
And do you like pickles?
I love anything pickled. Like, pickle literally any vegetable. I'm into it. Pickled carrots, pickled green beans.
Really?
Truly? I think I'm just a big fan of vinegar.
Yeah, that's what it sounds more than anything.
Like, vinaigrettes and Italian dressing are my favorite like salad toppings.
Salt and vinegar chips.
Salt and vinegar chips, like banana peppers, pickled jalapeno.
The booch, you drink the booch?
Actually, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. It's weird.
I grew the booch myself for a while and had a really bad batch.
Ooh, that'll do it.
It gave me 10 weeks of nausea, but I did puke. Yeah. When your drink is more solid than it is liquid with one mouthful, it just kind of turns you off the whole idea of the booch. So.
Oh, dear God.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, really.
It was filtered bad. I had kind of lost track of it and just kind of ruined me on it. Anyway,
this is what we call a lesson learned, right, Stephen?
This is a lesson learned. We grow, we move forward, we repent, we repair. Amen.
And we don't do it again.
That was a lot of information, too.
Yeah.
By the way, that was...
Yeah, you were very transparent. And I think that actually, better than originally, what was going to be our... Yeah. Our topic for today is introduced by yours truly. And it is transparency versus a lack of boundaries.
Oh, okay.
Because
so TMI,
I feel like
maybe.
Those lines can be blurred very easily.
Yeah.
And
it's giving TMI energy.
It's giving TMI energy. And it could be one of those situations where you just don't know how to read a room, or you don't know how to respect boundaries that are set. And you therefore want to shove that onto others and think that it's being transparent. So I don't even know how to start this. I think what started this was I had someone share with me who's also a pastor. They recently received news that they're going to be reappointed to a different church. So usually a letter is read to the congregation, like after the pastor has been informed and yada, yada. And the congregation knew before the announcement was made, like someone spilled the beans. And
spoilers.
So when it was announced, there was no reaction. It was like there was no
weird
joy, no sorrow, nothing in between. It was just no affect. They're like, oh, we already know, it's whatever. And I feel like there was a lack of boundary with whoever spilled the beans for that person. And I'm feeling like some people think, well, we're just being transparent. No, you're stepping on people's toes, sharing business that's not yours. So have you either had a situation like that where lines were crossed and it was maybe misinterpreted as, oh, we were just being transparent, or we thought you were being transparent when really you had a clear boundary set up?
Hmm. I think most of my moments in adulthood around boundaries and like oversharing or something like that usually... Like the way I'm usually like knocking my head on the door frame because I'm just oblivious is like thinking I could trust someone, having unspoken assumptions about what kind of boundaries existed.
Mm-hmm.
And then having those just obliterated.
Yeah.
I think more often I'm on the other side of like, because I'm, you know, I'll talk about my own experience. Almost 200 episodes of a podcast. That shouldn't surprise anyone. Like, I'll talk about me a lot because it happens to be one of my favorite topics and I'm working on that. But I feel like I normally have a good sense of like, who am I sharing what with and why?
Reading the room.
Like reading the room. I, you know, like I am comfortable talking a lot about myself and my own thought process on the podcast because like in my mind, I wanted to be a part of starting this podcast because those are the things I wanted to share, because turns out I'm not the only person who has these kind of feelings and has these kind of evolutions in their faith life. Right. And that like I've experienced that as a tremendous balm for an anxious and weary soul of like, oh, you too, you were also wondering if like the doctrine of hell we grew up with is kind of fucked up. Like giving language to those things is helpful. And I'm also an Enneagram 2 and extremely relationship oriented. And I can get into like, I'm the kind of person who can go like 0 to 60 on, let's just get into the deep stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like I met people for the first time starting a No Normal People episode. And 40 minutes later, I'm like, so how were you raised spiritually and what do you think now? You know, like I'll just go there. So maybe that's a fault of mine for not having those kind of boundaries, but I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe it's not a fault, or maybe it is.
Maybe it is my superpower.
Ah,
Could be.
I preached about superpowers on Sunday.
Oh, interesting. Because of Madam Web coming out?
No, I talked about superhero Jesus, and it was hilarious.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was transparency one of Jesus' superpowers?
No, it was flipping tables and being a vigilante.
Oh, hell yeah. Batman super guy.
Yeah. Anyways, so, Josh, your turn.
I am honestly struggling to think of a time that I felt like there was more transparency given than I was expecting, whether it was concerning me or someone else. But my mind is already going to two different things, and maybe this is like a roundabout way of answering your question. Number one, I'm reminded of an old friend who used to use this method when like talking about other people. They would kind of talk about people like anonymously. I think regardless of whether or not the person they were talking to knew the person, like if they were just bringing something up to like say like, oh, I had a friend watch that movie recently and they loved it. Or like, oh, I had a friend go through that similar difficult situation and it sounds awful. Like they would just always keep them anonymous. And they are the first person, I now see people do that a lot, but they were the first person that I ever saw do that consistently. And it really stuck out to me. Like it really like made me think a lot about privacy and like what is need to know and relevant and what's really not. And like, what motivations do you have for sharing other people's business? And I like to think I've adopted that. Like, you'll notice I called them an old friend and I didn't gender them. And
yeah,
kind of doesn't matter who they are. Like,
what?
You know what I mean? And that really stuck with me. That was really compelling to me. And they never even like mentioned it. I just noticed that they would do that a lot.
Could you, without identifying this person, name a field in which they worked in? Because I feel like that's someone who has like previous experience with training, either in the medical field or in the mental health field.
Oh, that's a good point. To my knowledge, they did not work in the, like, medical or mental health ever. I know that they had worked in retail and also in tech. So, I mean.
Okay.
But I mean, that is a good point about business, because like, you also made me think about like how I talk to other people at work and like kind of strike that work-life balance, because I feel like there is some give and take in like any relationship. Like, you can choose what you want to disclose and what you don't want to disclose, especially in a work setting. Like, that can be really sensitive, I think, for a lot of people. But yeah, you know, you definitely made me think about work, which is interesting. But my second thing that you made me think of largely is like a little meta. Like, I feel like we've talked about it a little bit in like the creation of this show, but like, there's definitely things that I struggle with boundary language. I don't know if it's because of like how many people talked about like Cloud and Townsend's boundaries book growing up, but like
Atomic Eye Roll.
I've never actually read it, but like, I remember that book being heralded as like, this is like the Christian idea of boundaries, which I feel like is a little,
oh yeah,
I don't know. I'm not here to criticize that specifically because I haven't read it. So I like struggle with like the wording of boundaries, I think. But like, I feel very conscious of the fact I don't talk about certain things on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm here to talk about like X, Y, and Z all the time. And like, whatever's going on in my relationship with Elise, it's kind of not the podcast business.
Right.
Like, totally.
Right.
Or like, I've like hinted at the fact that like, I definitely disagree with my parents about some theological things. And I just kind of consciously choose to not really discuss that here. That's just like, I guess you would call that a boundary technically, but like,
personal policy is another way to say
it. Yeah, I like policy. That's nice. Or habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've noticed when I have those like conversational boundaries in whatever setting, work or podcast or like whatever, I tend to just like know it to myself and it like kind of remains unspoken. I'm definitely not the type that's like, I'm sorry, I don't talk about that here. Or like, I like don't even like make an excuse. I'm just like, so the weather has been crazy. Like, I just like subject shift if I'm like feeling like it's something I don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know.
Even to that point, I can't think of a time as the editor of this show where I've ever just like made an awkward moment like that disappear. Like,
sure.
Oh, sure.
Truly, mostly what I'm doing when I'm editing is making our weird lip smacks go away and shortening our silences when we're thinking. Like, that's pretty much all the work I do for editing this show.
And that right there is like transparency. We are not polishing ourselves to promote a false image of what we want this to be. we are people. We are not perfect. So we lip smack and we have awkward pauses and we say like and a lot because we're human. And we find comfort, oddly enough, in other humans. That's why I think transparency is so important in connection with people. Because you don't want to surround yourself with people, either A, people who don't respect personal policy, and B, people who see transparency as being this opportunity to be polished. Like they've rehearsed and they've got all the lines figured out. They know what to say and it's kind of robotic and it loses that sense of emotion. And I've encountered that several times, both in my personal life as well as in ministry. And it's very upsetting.
What would be an example of you encountering that in ministry? Because I feel like I know that corporate tone that you're kind of going at, but like, I feel like I haven't really seen that in ministry settings as much, just because I haven't had as much experience as you probably.
Sure. It's when we're in conversation, like deep, you know, whatever it is, and someone just knows what to say because it's that good old Sunday school answer. And I know that person, and I know their spiritual life enough to know that that is not the answer that they themselves would say. It's the answer that they want to portray because they think it'll get people to see them in a better light.
Ooh. So to that point, oversharing and being the person who, because like, you know, we could have a conversation about how the New Testament treats like gossip.
Yeah.
As a concept here.
Mm.
But to that point, I think some of that, yeah, lip service also, to be honest, says the podcaster from one side of his mouth, it's about attention seeking.
Yes, yes, yes.
Being transparent, you think, is inherently about attention seeking?
I think overly transparent, or like really, if you're like sucking the air out of the room because, you know, like you're not reading the room, maybe intentionally, maybe not. Maybe you're bad at social cues. Plenty of people are, and that's them, and that's fine. But like, sometimes you get the vibe of like, did you want to just have that record scratch moment? Because now we're all looking at you.
Oh, because, yeah. And I've, yeah.
Yikes, bikes, dude.
Yeah, definitely encountered that in ministry. I shouldn't say the best times. The most frequent times that occurs, I shit you not, is funerals.
Oh, yeah. I've totally seen that.
We do weird stuff on grief. Yeah.
Or weddings.
Weddings.
Oh my God. The things I've heard said at weddings. Not even juicy. Just like, oh man, why would you say that in front of a group of people? Like, that's maybe something to say in private? Or like, I didn't need to know that.
Mm.
I'm going to tell everyone that now because you said that in public. But
my favorite is that born again Christian weddings where like when the wed couple is not in immediate earshot, everyone's like, talking about them having sex for the first time that night. Like, you're like, why?
That's wild.
The number of weddings I've been to where that is like truly all that's going on is
all
like,
the conversation.
What are we?
Cringe.
Wow. I've not encountered that actually. That's so interesting.
That happens at weddings around churches and around people who are steeped in purity culture because now we're it's like fetishizing the wedding night almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Crossing the threshold, so to speak.
Yeah.
Really. Josh, you did bring up something though when you said like you share that to the public and now I'm going to share that. Not saying you literally do that all the time. Like I'm not.
I do.
Oh, well, now I'm going to hound on you. No. That does bring up a good point though. Is there an unspoken boundary of something that's shared publicly that then is continued to be shared and that person's like, oh, well, no, I didn't want that shared because we know that happens more often than not.
You know what? Here's the thing. If it's on social media in any form, it's fair game.
Okay.
Even if you're a private account, if you didn't want that information out there, don't put it on the internet. Don't put it on the internet, like, period. Like, yes, privating accounts is great and like there should be more protections there, but like if you're scared about like info getting out, don't even put it out there internet wise.
Think about even the way we run our Discord. I mean, like we have a high degree of like trust. We like the three of us put truly 0% of our time into moderating the chat going on in the Discord. We have a ton of trust in that community. And at the same time, I think everybody in the Discord knows screenshots can always be grabbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've seen so many like podcast private Facebook groups get blown up because of that. And people are like, what? I had privacy. And it's like, you're on meta.com. What do you think?
Yeah, you imagined privacy.
You think you have privacy? That's a myth, my guy.
We just want to say how honored we are that you listen to Ravel. Seriously, there's a lot of great shows out there, and we're grateful to be in your feed. Thank you for helping us on our journey to normalize people asking questions about theology.
If you want to support what we're doing, the best way to help is to tell a friend about us. We want to be a resource for people on their faith journeys, whether they're deconstructing, reconstructing, switching churches, deconverting, and everything in between.
And if you're able, you can support us for as little as $3 a month on our Patreon. Supporting us helps us cover fees, software, equipment, future ideas, and more. For all of you church finance skeptics out there like me, don't worry, we're keeping an open book for transparency.
For our supporters, we've built an online space where we can be together. We know it can be difficult to ask questions about our faith, so we want to make that more accessible, comfortable, and normal. We're using an app called Discord, where you'll get private access. You already know us, and we'd love to get to know you.
Thank you to everyone who's already supporting, and thank you to Louis Zong for the use of our theme music, In Full Color.
This is semi-related to Emily's question. I don't know where I heard it, so I'm just going to claim that it was me who came up with it. Transparency...
Love that energy.
Transparency does not mean telling everything to everyone always.
Fact.
Like, you can be I can be transparent at work and talk about like something real that was like good or bad about my weekend or my night, or like I had a shitty day yesterday. I was nauseous all day and I called out of work and I'm feeling great and I had symptoms. I just keep it vague. Like, you don't have to like share everything. You can like be real. You can be real, guys.
Yeah.
And transparent, and that doesn't mean revealing everything that could possibly be revealed.
You have to call your boss at 7 a.m. being like, I have not stopped pooping for 4 hours. It's not necessary. Sometimes you can choose. Like, I had a very cool moment a while ago where, like, in a one-on-one meeting with my boss, I was like, because he straight up asked, he's like, do you mind me asking, like, how's anything else going? Like, do you want to talk about anything else? And I was like, well, I was just diagnosed with moderate to severe depression, and I'm realizing how much that has been affecting my work. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, if it helps, I haven't noticed, and I'm sorry, and I'm here for you. And then the next day, he like gave me a personal email being like, I see this therapist if you need a therapist. And also,
aww.
Like, it was a really cool, like, you know, I'm not posting on my team Slack as my status, like, just got diagnosed with depression.
Steven has depression today.
Yeah, exactly.
Followed by what you ate for breakfast. Yeah.
But, you know, if it's someone I trust, I can tell them, and that turns into a cool moment. That's fine.
You know, that makes me think an interesting thought that I don't know if I've ever thought before. So I'm just going to share it. I think it's interesting that we collectively use the metaphor transparency to talk about information.
Yeah.
Like, I think there is something inherent in like the sharing of information to be seen. Like, I think you are onto something that like it is inherently attention seeking, but I also don't think that that's bad. Like, I also think that people who attention seek in any form, there is a purpose to that. Like, either they're not getting that in some aspects, or like they need more attention on something very real, or like it could be misplaced too. Like, that's very possible too.
Absolutely. But,
yeah, that's interesting. I never really like thought about it that like tangibly, like, seeing someone clearly. Do you guys feel like there's like pressure in church and Christianity to be like in relation to like transparency and boundaries? Because like I feel like I've seen good forms of transparency, and I honestly feel like I haven't seen like I feel like the quote unquote bad versions I've seen are more like a lack of transparency versus like too much transparency.
Can you give an example or like just a generic?
Yeah. I mean, like off the top of my head, like from my experience, I've like been in small groups where like we've like been meeting once a week for like years. And so like you get to know each other really well. And like eventually you like share like really personal stuff that comes up in your life. And I think that that can be really healthy and not misused. Like if like everyone has a good, I guess it kind of goes back to like a good like understanding of like privacy and like not using information against people. And like that's kind of like baseline. But then like I've also like seen and heard of pastors like be dismissed for like, and like no reasons given. And like, mm-hmm. it like leaves all of this. But then you also like see that at work too. You're like, oh, did that person get fired? Are they leaving? Do they really have to go take care of their parents?
What happened?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Is there like some hot goss? And I also don't, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. I have another thought, but want to hear from you guys.
I think in the small group setting, Christian small groups can get in trouble if leadership has not given any thought to age and power dynamics.
Yes.
Because what you don't need is a senior in high school leading a middle school group of boys telling them what kind of porn they're addicted to.
Yeah.
Which has happened to me as the middle schooler.
That's
in that group.
Crazy.
And you know what it did?
What kind of porn were they into?
What it did?
What?
It made all us middle schoolers very curious about some very specific Google phrases that night.
Yeah.
That's where it's not helpful. Because I think the evangelical escalation of the Catholics' dialed in system of confession can go way too far if you're not careful.
Not life-giving.
With that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there can be some situations where, you know, the entire congregation maybe doesn't need to know why the pastor is being asked to step down or take a sabbatical or something like that.
Yeah.
But if that pastor has a group of 6 solid elders around him who know exactly what's going on, I think we're at a healthy space.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor doesn't necessarily need to talk about it unless actual crime has been committed. Let's specify that too, because that has been happening with more regularity around, especially sexual abuse around churches in America.
One of the things that you mentioned, Josh, actually, Stephen, the two of you combined leads me to this one. So we recently had, actually not too recent, it was back in October, had an event called Faith and Blue. It's an annual event between faith communities and law enforcement.
Oh, interesting.
And how Cody does it is really cool. We, every year, like every other year, we switch the style. So one year we did a panel, and then that following year we did more of like the high tech drones, bomb squad, you know, all the fun stuff that brought people to come look at those things and see how faith communities are working together with law enforcement, so to speak. And our panel that we did this year was fantastic. We had a huge turnout, and the topics that were supposed to be discussed was Title 25, which in Wyoming is the restraints and the holds on mentally ill individuals in prisons and or hospitals, homelessness, drug abuse, and recruitment into law enforcement. So we had great topics lined out. And our panels were composed of some on law enforcement side and then others in either faith communities, mental health professions, or people who are just well-versed in different forms of outreach in the community. And we were supposed to speak to how we either see those individuals working on situations, so like homelessness and drug abuse in the church, how are we combating it, you know, whatever. We had a pastor use his personal story, which was phenomenal, but instead of taking it in the direction of, from this experience, maybe this is how we could help law enforcement with drug abuse or homelessness. It was, here's my personal story. Now I'm going to Bible thump the shit out of you and proselytize and make you feel so uncomfortable that you're totally going to forget what this whole fucking panel was for in the first place. Because we had so many people do like the eyebrow looking around the room face of like, what the hell? So of course, I then have to follow up and I'm like, I need to save this somehow. this has gone in a direction that was never supposed to be intended. Chaplain rule number one, you never proselytize ever, because you never know who you're encountering in chaplaincy ever. And that right there, like, was the prime example. This is what not to do.
Yikes.
And that was a boundary that was broken. Like, we had clear boundaries. We were supposed to talk for 5 to 10 minutes. He spoke for 27. We had certain areas of topics that we were supposed to discuss, did not discuss. When answering questions, we were supposed to have like actual data or references to point people to, didn't have any. And it was like, someone made this recommendation because he's a really cool dude in the community. Like, he's the pastor of the Baptist church and some of the officers go there. Okay, cool. But like, do you really know him? Like,
it would be a Baptist. Ayo. We're like that. We do that.
But yes, it. So that was my that's moment. Cringe. That's cringe. Right.
And also, that's attention seeking. Straight up.
Very misplaced.
Very misplaced.
What do you guys think about gossip?
Ooh, what do I think of gossip?
Because like, I already kind of laid out there the like, if it's on social, it's fair game.
True.
Which I think is a fine rule of thumb. But like, what about when it's not on social media? Like, I feel like Christianity has given like a very, I mean, honestly, we could probably talk about this for forever and we're trying to wrap up here, but I feel like Christianity has given such a like, at least in evangelicalism, has given a very like narrow view of gossip that's like, you know, nope, just not at all. Just don't even talk about other people. But then everyone does anyway.
Here's my hot take. I think we misunderstand gossip and we mislabel it as just talking about other people. I think the root of gossip is leaping to conclusions about other people. I think the root of it is truly judge not, lest ye be judged.
Fair.
Gossip is about jumping to conclusions about other people, often making very negative assumptions about their motives and about their circumstances and the choices they make thereby.
Emily, do you agree with that?
If you are being led to negative, sour opinions, conclusions, and start treating people based on the stories you are telling yourself about them, I think that's the real problem.
I never thought of gossip in that way, but after hearing that, that totally makes sense. That absolutely makes sense.
Because what does that do? That just introduces discord into a place that's supposed to really symbolize unity.
I don't have like an article off the top of my head to reference, but there's definitely a lot of people out there, at least included, who have like talked about how gossip is a form of a social safety net. Like, a lot of communities like don't view gossip inherently negatively, which I think is really interesting. And it's also interesting to me that Christianity has like negated it super far.
Yeah, but it's also one of those things we give lip service to, is like, you can be a good Christian by not gossiping, and then we do it out the other side of our face.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So.
Or we try to finally define what gossip is and like, oh, no, that's not gossip.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying you become toxically positive and assume the best of everyone. Because that's not always the case either. But if you are dwelling on narratives that you yourself are writing that could quite possibly be fiction, and thereby treating your neighbor differently, I think that's the big problem.
But sometimes you should view people differently. Like, I think that like, for as many situations as there are that like, it's perfectly irrelevant to not know who you're talking about if you're just like bringing up a discussion point. But like, sometimes you should know things about people too. Like, I think that's the like social safety net angle is like.
Yeah, because if a community is teaching itself who's untrustworthy and where to draw boundaries, or leave it to the level of setting personal policy.
And I think that's the fine line though, between what you two are saying, is there's a difference between sharing information about an individual that would be important. And not sharing enough information to where there can be space for false narratives to be created.
Yes. Yeah. I like that summary.
Maliciously or accidentally.
Or both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor mongering.
Yeah. Ooh, mongering. What a great.
We love a good monger. I'm a podcast monger.
We do. We do.
Yeah.
Well, in the spirit of transparency, we are out of time, effectively.
This is true.
But before we actually leave, do you guys have anything to plug this week?
Along the same lines of spirit of transparency, I would love for people, because truly the most quote unquote social media time I've been spending online anywhere is my Goodreads account. Follow me on Goodreads. See what I'm reading. I transparently track what I'm currently reading, what I've read, how I've rated it. So that's my plug.
My plug this week is this podcast called Nothing Much Happens. And it's a sleep podcast, and we have been consistently falling asleep to it for a couple weeks now.
Ooh, wow.
I love the
name. As fun as it was to spend 5 days telling Elise in the same style of like sleepy bedtime voice, telling her the plot of Over the Hedge to see how long she notices, see how long it takes.
Yeah.
As fun as that was, this is much better to listen to someone tell you a boring story. And I couldn't tell you a single story I've listened to. She does a good job. Lulls me to sleep within 10 minutes.
Wow. That's great. I need to try that. What? Say it again?
Nothing Much Happens.
Okay.
It's an iHeartRadio podcast, but it's good. It's by a woman named Catherine Nicolai.
Is it atrociously riddled with ads?
There on the newer episodes, she does do ads at the beginning. She tells you about them. She does them in her sleepy voice.
Oh, she reads them herself. It's not just like dynamically inserted Toyota-thon ads or something.
Welcome to the Sleepy Podcast. Try BetterHelp today. No, she doesn't like it. It's not quite ASMR, but it's like she's a very lovely speaker. It's nice.
Love it. Emily?
Fascinating. I'm rereading a book called Raging with Compassion by John Swinton. It's pastoral responses to the problem of evil. And I'm rereading this book as I prepare for round two of my chaplain training that I'm doing later this summer.
Ooh.
Because some of the topics that we're going to be having in the 3 days that we're meeting basically talk about this, especially with law enforcement and how chaplains can kind of be a good mediator and a support. And we recently had an incident with the police officer in Sheridan that died. That was very unfortunate. And we've had a lot of questions about the problems of evil. So I was drawn to rereading that book and applying it to pastoral care and counseling. So,
well, Emily, do you want to draw a boundary on this episode?
Think we need to wrap it up neatly with a bow. I think we need to part ways, say our goodbyes, and know that there's always a new beginning, no matter how the story ends.